We had a visitor today. Someone that I've not seen in a long, long time. A brother Bloodworth. Brother and sister Bloodworth's son from over at Salem. Not seen him in many years. Real devout Methodist people. And while being around them, we left an imprint and caused one of the boys to become a Baptist preacher. And another one, a Baptist teacher. One of them a Methodist preacher. And the other one a holiness preacher. So one of them, the youngest one of them, became a holiness preacher. And he's been a holiness preacher ever since. He was over in Norfolk, Virginia. He was in military service there for years. And was over there and came by today going over to the Emmanuel College to teach and to share with them over there. And he found out that we were in this area. And he came by to see us. I've not seen him in quite a number of years. Might have been quite a number of years since I'd seen him. But he was wanting us to come up. He pastors a church over in Norfolk, Virginia. And he was wanting us to come up and visit with him some. His coming really, really has a great significance right at this time. A great significance. Reading a little bit in the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was under me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humble in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commanded it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eyes runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eyes twinkleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not, O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me, the lips of those that rose up against me, and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. All right. The reading here of that entire chapter, which is quite a bit, the book of Lamentations. I think most of us realize that these things are speaking of the Lord Jesus and of those that are the members of his body and the sorrows that they go through. But if you noticed, with all of the heartaches and sorrows that is made mention of, yet in every book of the Bible where there is sorrow and heartache mentioned, there is also a way of escape mentioned. Isn't that right? How many of you know that we have a way of escape tonight? The land of heartaches, the land of sorrow, the land of troubles. But in the midst of all of it, we have a way of escape. You might say, well, Brother Pike, what is that way of escape? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Whenever you need a way and you can't find a way, Jesus is the way of escape. Jesus is the way of life. Jesus is the way of truth. Jesus is the way. So then when you're looking for something, all you've got to do is find Jesus. Praise God. When I'm looking for something, I look for Jesus. If you want to find nothing, look for the devil. The devil offers you everything and gives you nothing. Jesus offers you nothing and gives you everything. So then all we've got to do is follow the ways of God, meet the conditions of the Lord, and the Lord will smile on us and he will bless us out of his great storehouse of love. I wish that we had a regular teaching on Wednesday night and maybe some of the nights to where we could just come together and the people would come expecting to be taught of the Lord. The Bible said, and they all shall be taught of the Lord. And the way of Jesus, as I've said so many times, was to either sit down somewhere on a huge stone, maybe it was elevated above the crowd a little, or on the hillside where he could see down, or maybe get in a ship and sit down and just shove out from the shore to where he wouldn't be run over by the multitudes. And there he would expound the word of God. He would open their understanding. You know, the thing that we need today is to open our understanding by the Spirit of God. If we can get the Spirit of God to open our understanding, we'll be all right. It is hard to believe, but the average human being doesn't hardly have any understanding. Did you know that? Most of the people of the world have very little education as far as natural understanding. And about all the education they have is taught from practical experience. And then when it comes to spiritual things, even the educated don't have any understanding as a rule. Most everybody throughout the world is without understanding. That's why the Bible uses the terms that my people perish from the lack of knowledge. The devil just makes havoc out of them. In other words, he comes in on them and just does them anyway. Because they don't know any better. They don't know any better. They don't know their rights in God. You know, it's you can find a typical thing if you look around a little bit. The judges and the law and the different things, you know, that man has to cope with. Look, man don't know how to cope with the law because he don't understand the law. Isn't that right? People that are not lawyers, all of us just common people, we don't know anything about the law. Maybe we learned the law today and they changed it tomorrow. See, because the wealthy changes the law to fit their own way of life. How do you understand that the government is the law and the law is the government? That's why great men like presidents and governors and whatever, they have to study law. Because that's what it is. A government is a constraint, a control, that a controlling power, which means a law. And the laws of this world certainly are not right. Isn't that right? And we don't understand the laws. We don't understand the government because the rich and the great men of the world, they make sure that we don't understand it. They keep crossing it up and cross-examining us so that we won't understand. It is they make us believe that they want us to understand, but they do not want us to understand because they know that if we do understand, then that means that we're going to have a better form of government. And we're going to get rid of the system that they've got so they don't really want us to understand. They want us to understand enough of the law and the government to where they can usurp authority and power over us and keep us under the control of the law. They don't want us to be like a bunch of bandits, you know, or a bunch of ignoramuses that don't know what the law is. And when the law comes, take a shotgun, you know, and blow them half in two with it. Like they used to do around the liquor stills and the old-time bandits and Jesse James and different ones. They don't want us to be like that. They want us to know about the law. That is enough to understand their authority. And know about the government, that is enough to know that they're supposed to rule over us. But as far as us understanding enough to where we can get up before the court or before the governments of today and plead our cause and make them straighten everything out, they don't want that. Not at all. So then they seek to keep us in ignorance and keep us in darkness. That's the way that Satan rules, is by the powers of darkness. Even the great Catholic Church, the greatest power in the world, the greatest religious power, they rule by keeping their people in ignorance. They refuse to let them read the Bible. They refuse to let them do anything when it comes to salvation. Other than just listen to what the Pope says, and whatever he says do, they must do that. Whatever he sends to them, that's all that they can read. Even the priests are not allowed to read the things that they would like to read. I know that that's true because I've read articles that priests that broke loose from the Catholic Church wrote and printed up and put before the public. And they said that they wouldn't allow them to even read the Bible. So then the devil keeps the people in ignorance so that he can rule over them. And that's why it is so hard for a ministry, if God ever brings any light or any understanding, it is so hard for the ministry to ever get the attention of the people in such a way that he can get something over to them to let them know their way of life and their benefits of life or their rights in God. It's so hard. The devil will cross-examine the minds of the listeners and do everything he possibly can by gossip, by division, by causing people, false brethren and false sisters to come in and out among us, by causing people to accuse all kind of things. See, he does that to cause us problems. Isn't that right? Which brings to my mind a little incident yesterday, was it, Brother Taylor, that we went uptown? A little incident yesterday that one of our fellows got out of hand here and dropped into a place that he shouldn't have done. He shouldn't have done it because it caused me some complications, and I mentioned it to him. But anyway, I went to this place to try to get things straightened out, and I had to tell the man to his face that if the statements that I had received concerning Little Bethlehem, if those statements were true in that they said that he had made the statements, then I said, you are a liar. And anybody else that makes statements like that against Bethlehem and Bethlehem's people are liars. And of course the man backed down. But see, God wants us to understand. Up there at that place, there was a feller up there, and we might say something about this a little further on in the service. But there was a man that had went to work up there for this particular person. And a few of the people here had done him an injustice. There's a man back over here around Snow's Mills Road. Had done him an injustice, and he was perched up there in that place of business to try to blackball or to say something against or to cause something bad, you know, in the eyes of the public toward Bethlehem and toward Bethlehem people because of a few people. And it didn't take us long to let him know that that was a very ignorant thing for anybody to do, is to charge something against a worldwide operation and holy people because of a few people that just don't have any man or womanhood about them to take care of their obligations properly. But anyway, we set them straight in this. I made the statement to them. I said, your problem is that we preach holiness at Bethlehem and you don't like it. I said, but it's holiness or it is hell. And that ended the conversation. Now, so then, God wants us to understand. And I told them, I said, it's time that stopped. I said, it's reproached God enough. We've heard all we want to hear of it. And so it stopped. And this is what we need to do. We need to understand. And then when we get the understanding with love and respect for everybody, even our enemies, go to them in the right way. Go to them as bold as a lion, as harmless as a dove, and as wise as a serpent. Have their soul at heart. Have their soul at heart when you go to rebuke them. Don't just go in and rage on somebody and just spill your ignorance right there in their presence to try to prove to them that you're some brave fella. That's ignorance when you do that. Look, it's no sign of courage when you burst into a man's place or into a man's office or into a man's home or into a man's presence and start accusing him or saying something to him. That is not a display of courage. It is a display of ignorance. Now, it doesn't prove that you're brave. It doesn't prove that you're wise. Not at all. But if you can go to him in a sane, sober manner and stand as bold as a lion and tell him in love, but tell him just exactly like he is. Don't alter the thing. Tell him like it is. You'll get the job done. And when you go in the love of God, in that you realize that person is a human being. And the Bible said, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. If you repent, forgive him. You may save the man's soul. Did you know that? All right, so it is in what I was speaking of earlier. We don't want to be ignorant. We want to learn the ways of God, learn the benefits of God, learn the understanding of God. And we want to face the devil, our enemy, our adversary. We want to go against him, but we want to go against him in the power of the mind of Jesus Christ and with the boldness of God, and go there and tell him just like it is. Amen. And God will stand with us, and you'll cast the devil out, and you'll bind the devil, and the devil will leave, and the human being, you'll win over to God on many occasions. Did you know that? When we finished up there, the people that we were talking to melted like a camel. Now so then, we are God's people. We are the sons and daughters of God. We have all power in heaven and in earth. We are dignitaries. We don't have to bow down to anybody, but everybody has to bow down to us. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. I can judge everybody, but nobody can judge me. Is that right? The Bible teaches that no man can judge a child of God, but yet a child of God can judge every man. So then, we are great people, mighty people, people of understanding, people that's got an understanding heart. We understand. Many of those people are brute beasts. They don't even know where they're going. We should be kind to them and treat them right. And when they're causing us a lot of problem, go to them and stop them in the right way. Paul said there's some mouths that ought to be stopped. Go to them and stop their mouth, but do it in the love of God and do it in the right way, and God will bless you and God will bless them because you may win their soul. But when we go in ignorance and we go in rowdiness and we go in haughtiness and temper, the thing that we do to reproach Christ is far greater than the error that was to begin with. The thing that was before isn't as bad as somebody that is a Christian displaying a temper. Did you know that? All right, so let's get the love of God. First of all, the Bible said, let him that is spiritual, if he see his brother overtaken in a fault, let him that is spiritual restore such a one. And let him do it in the spirit of meekness, considering himself, lest he also be tempted or fall into the same error and spirit of the other one. So then, if you're not spiritual, you're not supposed to be doing that anyway. You're supposed to be a spiritual person. A person that's not spiritual is going to get temperamental. How many of you realize that? If you're not spiritual, when you have a warfare or you have a cross, you're not going to fight it through Christ. You're going to get temperamental and you're going to have a free-for-all right there. So then, if you're not spiritual, you're not supposed to do that. What we need is understanding. The Bible said, with wisdom, get understanding. And Solomon prayed to God, and he said, God, I want you to give me an understanding heart. He said, because your people are so great and so mighty, and he said, I don't know how to conduct myself in the presence of these great people. I don't know how to be a statesman in the presence of such godly, great, and mighty people. And he said, give me an understanding heart so that I don't know how to go in and out before them. And I don't know how to conduct myself, and I don't know what to say to them. And I don't know where to start and where to stop and what you're pleased with. And the Bible said it pleased God well that Solomon did this. And God said, Solomon, because you have not asked riches for yourself, you've not asked long life, you've not asked vengeance over your enemies. He said, because you've done this, he said, it pleases me well. And I'm going to give you riches, great and mighty riches. And I'm going to give you great and mighty wisdom. And he did. It pleased God. So then, if that pleases God, then why don't we pray the same prayer? Why don't we pray, God, give us a heart of understanding? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, with the heart of understanding that Solomon had, he fell away in his old age, but he didn't use his understanding. Isn't that right? God visited him 2 or 3 times in a dream, just as he visited him in a dream and told him he'd make him rich and give him great wisdom. That was the way that he told Solomon he would do it, in a dream, and it came to pass. God visited him the same way when he told him that the heathen women would turn his heart away from God, not to marry him, but Solomon did it anyway. So then it wasn't God's wisdom that caused Solomon to err. It wasn't the wisdom that God had given him, but it was the lack of use of the wisdom that God had given him. See, God can give great wisdom among you and among the people at Bethlehem. Give it to me, give it to you, give it to us, put it in our midst. But see, wisdom is no good unless we use it. Isn't that right? Understanding is no good unless you act upon it. If you're driving down the road and a man tells you that down at the bottom of the hill the bridge is out, then you've got understanding that you did not have before. But if you refuse to accept the understanding or to act on the understanding, it isn't going to do you any good. You're going right on. The Bible said the fool will go right on, and the arrow pierced the liver. Right on. He won't listen. Though you warn him many times, being often reproved. The Bible said he that hardeneth his heart, stiffens his neck, he'll be destroyed. Suddenly, the Bible said, and no remedy for it. That without remedy, it'll just happen like that real quick. Because God will get grieved with him. All right. Now then, we are looking for a government. We are interested in a government because a government is our means of escape. There's no way that we can escape the things that's coming on the world. There's no way that we can do it unless Jesus undertakes for us. Things is getting into a bad situation. Look at Billy Graham right now, how that he is communing with the communists. I understand that he's having a dinner with them here in the last few days. He's having some big to-do with communism. Why would a great evangelist, a great Protestant evangelist, a man that's born, as we say, of capitalistic government, why would he betray his country or sell out like that? Because communism is becoming a popular thing. It's getting popular. Now, how do you know that communism don't even agree with each other? It's just like capitalistic government and everything else. While we was in Sweden, I talked to one of the young fellows that was communist over there, devout communist, and he said, we younger fellows don't agree with the older communists. He said, we've got our own ideas about it, and he related to me their differences. And it was a great difference, a great gap between them. And the younger outlook of communism is to take in all the world and make special allowance and alter a few things here and there, just like some of the false religions are doing. While the older ones want to be ecclesiastical and hold fast to their traditional way of hardness. So even they don't agree, but yet it's becoming a popular thing. All over the world, communism is moving in. And here, the world's greatest evangelist. Everybody looking to Billy Graham. Go to the Yankee Stadium and hundreds of thousands of people flow in. All over the world. Hundreds of thousands of people. And he's got the attention of all of those. And now look what he's doing. Getting up before the public, apologizing for the things he said against communists. Doing just exactly contrary to everything that he ever taught the people, going contrary to it. I believe with all my heart it was his influence in what he said about apologizing to communists that caused Jimmy to let him fly that flag. I really believe that. I believe that he had so much power over Jimmy Carter and over the presidency that influenced Jimmy. There was a picture of him with Jimmy and his wife just before he became president. And I made the statement long time ago, and I still believe it, that he was to be the false prophet. That Revelation speaks of a false prophet. And that he was to be the false prophet. Now you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. It's all right, that's your business. You believe whatever you want to believe. But many years ago, I made that statement. I said, he and Oral Roberts will come in right with the papacy of Rome. And I said, Oral will fall away in his old age. And I said, they'll come right in with the papacy of Rome. And when they do, then you'll see a pictorial thing that will illustrate in types for this age the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus stood there and Moses and Elijah stood
on either side. And I said, Billy has to do with Moses, and Oral Roberts has to do with Elijah. And I said, Oral will fall away in his old age, and he and Billy will get closer together, and they'll come together with the papacy of Rome. I made this statement, and when I preached some things concerning it over in the Carolinas many years ago in Bill Padar's tabernacle. I never did get the tape. They taped it. Some took it another way. But anyway, after a while, it began to dawn on them, and they published a magazine, and perhaps some of you remember that. You might have seen it. And on the front, they put a picture of the Pope of Rome, and on either side, they put Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. Did anybody ever see that magazine? They put out a lot of those magazines. Now, I made the statement then that Billy was to be that false prophet. I still believe it. I believed it then. I still believe it. I believe that Billy is a false prophet. I believe that Billy has misled the world, that he has taught the people to believe, that is, in his concept of religion, he has taught them to believe that they don't have to do anything at all to serve God, just believe, and that is it. But as I said a little bit ago, though it is true that we only believe in what he has done, and that is our sufficiency, yet it is also a true fact that God has pinned us down to this one thing, that we must do everything within our power to please the Son of God that gave us that appropriation in God. I must do everything possible to serve God. And how should I serve God? Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. How do I serve God? The Bible said, worship the Lord, serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It didn't say serve the Lord in the beauty of Baptist. It didn't say serve the Lord in the beauty of Catholicism. It didn't say serve the Lord in the beauty of communism, nor Episcopalian, nor any other thing other than holiness. And I know that we got a lot of churches that call themselves holiness churches that are not holiness churches. It's just like the Pope of Rome, they call him His Holiness. He is not His Holiness. He doesn't even have the Holy Ghost. How could he be His Holiness? So then I say that Billy is still the false prophet. I do not believe that Billy's going to go to heaven. He might do it. I might go to hell and Billy might go to heaven. He might feel the same way about me, and I'm sure he would if he heard me talking. But nevertheless, I believe that Billy is lost. I do not believe that Billy has the Spirit of God. I believe that Billy has been in the days of grace, and Billy became very religious, as many hundreds of other people have become. And that being religious, that in the days of grace, the Spirit of God came down upon Billy just like he did many others, while Billy believed, and while Billy was in ignorance concerning real holy living. But now Billy is not in ignorance. He has been in this thing many years. He knows the Bible. He knows the requirements. And after many years, he doesn't even preach baptism in Jesus' name. After many years. It's still a Trinity thing. What is the Trinity thing? It is certainly not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's not it, because if it was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it would be right. But that isn't it. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is in Jesus. For the Bible says you can't come to God except through the name Jesus. How do you get around the name Jesus? See, don't you understand what I'm saying tonight? See, the name Jesus, that is the doorway. I can say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all I want to. And that is right. When I say that, that is right. It is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But see, I'd only be deceiving you if I didn't take you through the name Jesus, because like if I took you out in the water and I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and I put you down in the water and I took you up, I lied to you. Because I told you I was going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and I didn't do it. because the name is Jesus. Many a times I've stood in the water and I said, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I say, I'll baptize you, my brother or sister, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and I fulfill the scripture of Matthew 28. And I say this again, if that isn't the fulfillment of it, then I challenge anybody, I don't care who they are, anywhere in the world to show me any other place where it was ever fulfilled. There is no place where it was ever fulfilled. And if it was not fulfilled, then we might as well throw the Bible away because it's no good. If God added 3,000 people to the church in the early apostolic times, the very first church, added 3,000 people to it by baptizing them in the name of Jesus, then how in the world can we feel that the teachings of Trinity is right? How can we do that? Not one apostle taught it. Every one of them agreed together that the name of Jesus was the door and the entrance into it. It doesn't matter if it's the Baptist, if it's the Amish, if it's the Methodist, if it's the Presbyterian, if it's the Pentecostals. It doesn't matter who they are. When they teach baptism outside of baptism in Jesus' name, they are wrong. And they're going to meet it at the day of the judgment. You say, but Brother Pike, I know a lot of holiness people has received the Holy Ghost. I do too. And every one of them that I can think of that really received the Holy Ghost later come into baptism in Jesus' name. Every one of them. Because the Bible said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth and righteousness. There's a Church of Christ man right there that received the Holy Ghost. He come into baptism in Jesus' name. Is that right? Here's a Church of God man, is it? Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He come into baptism in Jesus' name. Brother back here was telling me, he's back here with Brother Lundebow, telling me that he was out there, I believe, in the Assemblies of God. Come into, receive the Holy Ghost. He come into baptism in Jesus' name. On and on, many of them. Brother Jimmy sitting up there, a Baptist preacher, received the Holy Ghost. It led him right into baptism in Jesus' name. Brother, wherever you receive it, whether it's a Church of Christ preacher, no matter what it is, it always leads you to the same thing. There's a Catholic sitting back there, Brother Al Gonzalez, received the Holy Ghost. It led him into baptism in Jesus' name. It's always that way. So then I'm not condemning people who have the Holy Ghost that are in those movements, but I say that that movement, those movements, they're losing the sons and daughters of God. The sons and daughters of God have been in there in time past because knowing in part God has allowed them to be in there, not being too great with too great a light so as not to blind the people, and being there so that they could beckon to the people and catch the people with just a little ray of light. To lead them on a little farther and a little farther. But God is through with all of those denominational things now. And those walls and barriers are coming down. And rather than being a church, the Bible said she's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That means every unclean spirit is moved in and the Holy Spirit is moving out. You love Jesus? Now, I love to talk with you. I love to preach to you too. But I love to talk with you just like I'm doing now. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. And I'll have to talk with you and just reason with you about the situation. See, if I reason with you and you'll sit and listen to me, I don't just have to hurry and say 15 or 20 words to keep your attention. I can take my time and soberly expound to you what I understand. And I understand that Billy is the false prophet. I understand that. I understood that years ago. That's what I understand. If he isn't the false prophet, where is the false prophet? We're down at the end time. Where is he? You say, well, God's going to raise up one. God ain't going to raise up one. The devil might raise up one, but God ain't going to raise up one. God's not the author of confusion. Then where is the false prophet? Where is he? Even Billy's own mother, I understand, not too long ago, made the statements that I don't understand, Billy. Said, I don't understand my son. He's so different, the way she talked from the report I got. Why is it that Billy is fixing to go minister in all those Catholic churches? Why is it that the Catholic Church is praising him? I made the statement, I said, he is the one that the world is really looking to and not the Pope. Not the Pope. Look at the Pope, dead. They're fixing to start investigating. You know what it is? It is the hour of the unveiling of the great whore. God is fixing to make bare the great whore and reveal her lewdness and show the entire world of all the evil, crooked, devilish things that she's done down through the years. And God has allowed the authorities to start digging in there. Even the law of Italy, her own protection, is turning on her. Is that right? So then it is that hour. Rejoice. Hallelujah. The Bible said you should rejoice. God is fixing to get vengeance on her. Fixing to tear her to pieces. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Who did he tell to rejoice? Said, you that dwell in heaven, rejoice. If you dwell in heaven, rejoice. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches we are they that dwell in heaven. Praise God, sitting together in these heavenly places. We rejoice because we know what she's done, how she's cruelly entreated people, cruelly killed and murdered by the means of the Iron Maiden that would just close up, step inside of it. Even Daniel spoke of the beast that had the teeth of irons and nails. And during the dark age and the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, step inside that Iron Maiden with all those nails, and it would just close up like that. And nails, thousands of spikes go through your brain, your feet, your hands, your body, your bones, everywhere. And just open up and let you drop down in a dungeon somewhere. All right. So then, I believe that that's what's taking place. It's like Brother Bloodworth coming down from Norfolk, Virginia. Now, there's really something in that. See, we was in Virginia not too long ago. The virgin, the birth, that comes forth, water, blood, and spirit. Is that right? All right. In the Navy, water. Norfolk is right on the ocean front. Isn't that right? See, his name, Bloodworth, the blood. And then being a preacher, the spirit. Coming down here on Wednesday, and where was he going? It had to do with the coming forth of Jesus. Why do you say that? He was going to the Emmanuel College, God with us. Isn't that right? See, coming down, right, at this particular time, even the problem that Brother Taylor's wife's having, the doctors don't understand, say she ain't got enough blood to be standing on her feet. But see, changing over from that old red dragon, that old blood life, by the message, changing over to faith, and by spirit, by faith, she's going on. Something is happening in that these little foolish things, as far as the world's concerned, these little foolish things are taking place. What does it mean to us? And this time, the blood coming off of the mercy seat, not needing blood life anymore. The blood life being at an end. See, the Son of God, the man child being born, being caught up into the air like the astronauts, ready to walk around up there. See, in that we are coming forth as the man child, the membership of his body. When the man child goes up, the devil goes out. What was it said yesterday? He said the devil died. Was that what it said? The ball player they called the devil said he died. Isn't that something? Right at this particular time, the devil dies. Right when we say that we got victory over him and everything is just right, God having raised up some great noted feller out there just for his purpose to bring him down, just like Pharaoh, for this purpose have I raised him up. See, that they that have eyes to see might see, and they that have ears to hear might hear, and know what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Only they that are in Christ will be able to see it. The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. All right, these little things taking place. Numbers of things as of late has transpired. We can't go into all of them tonight, but if I did, there'd be numbers of them that would just fit together like a glove, stone upon stone, to show you what God is doing. There is something that's coming to pass. How many of you remember the things that we went through concerning Mr. Bloodworth over here and the black man and the wreck at Salem? How many of you remember that? That had to do with the vision of this little pool out here in front of the church. Does anybody remember that? See, and all of a sudden, why would his son come over here right now at this particular time. There is something that is happening. You say a dollar's worth or blood worth. You understand what I'm saying? There is something there, if you can understand what I'm saying. We're not going to try to prolong the service by talking about it. We're going to pass on to some other thing. But I'd like for you to instill a few of these foolish things into your mind and try to find out just exactly what God is trying to tell us. Monday night at men's meeting, while we was there, all of a sudden here, somebody come rushing in and they said, Elner is dead. On a Sunday night, I told my wife, I said, Betty, I said, there's something about this service that is not finished. I don't know what it is. I said, but there's something about it that's not finished. And I said, I wanted to tarry a little bit longer to find out what it is. I said, because it has to do with the death. And I said, it's not a vile, wretched sort of a thing. I said, it's a little bit unusual. And I said, the Lord, to get something over to me, I said, he kept calling my attention to Sister Eller Moss. Eller Moss, it is. Eller Moss. And I kept trying to find out what he was trying to say. And it was death. It was death. And sure enough, that very night, I talked with Betty. Within 4 or 5 hours, even probably by the time I'd gotten up off my knees, wasn't long after I quit praying, within just a little while, Eleanor died. Now, what does that have to do with? There is a great spiritual significance to it, because the man that she's married to, the McCullum man, is named Jesse. See, the Bible speaks of the house of Jesse. It also speaks of the end of the days of the Gentiles. And Brother Taylor knows this, and some of them that's been with me for a number of years, that when we was in Olive Branch, Mississippi, I told them that Eleanor and Junior, and I named some of them, I said, these are the ones that have to do with the Gentiles. I said, and watch them and see what happens to them, and it will be just exactly what will happen to the Gentiles. And right when we said that the days of the Gentiles was over because of the death of the papacy of Rome, Eleanor died. How do you understand what I'm saying? Things that I'm saying, they wouldn't understand this on the radio. They wouldn't understand, a lot of you don't understand it. But there's just two or three here that's been with me way back yonder. They do understand because they remember these things. And they could put these things together. There's two or three that is with me that would be skeptical because they never did get in with me to start with. They never did understand spiritual things. Even tonight, they still don't. But the Bible said, he that hath an eye to see, let him see. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit of the living God is saying something to the body of Christ. The time is at hand. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And he that is just, let him be just. That in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. He said they'll come commanding to abstain from meat, marrying and remarrying, and all of these things that God has spoke against they'll do, and these things that God has permitted they won't do. Whereas the Bible said it's nothing wrong with eating meat. You know the doctrines they got going right now. See, we're in the end time. Now what is it? It means that Satan has been cast out. For the saints of God, he was cast out at Calvary. He was cast out right here. At Calvary, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's why that I went up there like I did up here to Allen's Electric. Up to the electric place, it had to do with it. That's why the confusion came up like it did up there. It had to do with the electrical, which that is lightning in the heavens. It had to do with the withstanding of some things. Like the man over here at Snow's Mill Road, some more foolish things that some of you I know won't get. The man over here at Snow's Mill Road having bills against some of the people that's here. 7 years, he said, I've had these bills. He said, I have thrown them away. And I told him it was holiness or hell, and that's where his trouble was. But see, when you see that, that stopped his mouth, that put him on his way. And when you see the little foolish thing in it, Snow has to do with death. Did you know that? Ice has to do with cold and still death. For 7 years of bondage, after 7 years, the law is that you can't charge those things to people unless they are renewed. God sent me up there at that time having to do with the people that was charged with folly at Little Bethlehem, having been thrown away and loose from the death, the coldness coming out of it. God, knowing that those people were not going to pay their bills, knowing that those people was wrong, yet God used them just like he did Pharaoh, just like he did Nebuchadnezzar, whom he called his servant down there. See, it was wrong for them to do that. But God knows there was going to be that kind of people, so he used them for that purpose. For this purpose, have I raised them up, to show a spiritual thing that's taking place. The man was up there as the accuser of the brethren, and when I told him it was holiness or hell, it was obvious that he didn't have holiness, so the other part was the part where Satan went out. The devil was killed. Right at the same time, all this happened, and the bondage was loose. The 7 years was up. And the Old Testament carries that after that time, you're not supposed to hold things against your brother. There's certain times when things come around that your brother is supposed to be free. And so then the accusation was ended. The accuser of the brethren went out. It stopped his mouth. You understand? As lightning, electric, as lightning fall from the heaven. That don't mean nothing to some of you because they say, my God, Brother Pye, that's crazy. It ain't crazy. They said, Paul, you're crazy. He said, no, I'm not crazy. This thing wasn't done in the corner. This is a great and a mighty thing. And God, through those little foolish things that the banker won't look at, and the big Bible scholar won't look at, and the educator won't look at, and others won't look at, yet the poor, feeble, down-to-earth nobodies will take time to listen and catalog it, and God will blind the rest. And these that are foolish will receive it and come right on in. A lot of times I say the banker, these kind of things, that's no remark against the banker, because there are bankers that love God. There's people that love God. I'm not speaking in that way. And there's educators that love God. There's great men, not many of them. The Bible said not many great or mighty men are called, but there's some. There's few. There's few rich men that love Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. But what I do, I illustrate, because that's the world. The Bible said, do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the mercy seat and blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? That's what they do. See, so when I speak of the rich, because that's what Jesus did. Now, I don't mean they all like that, but it means most of them like that. There's just a few of them that will go the other way. For the Bible said, he that hath riches, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom? They've got their consolation. But he said, the poor heard him gladly, and he went unto the common people. Are you listening to me? All right, so these little foolish things that we say, they're taking place. And to top it all off, I noticed today that when I started up here, I thought, well, Lord, this is the end of the world. That's what it is. So then I walked in there, and I went to get Bill's tapes to bring them up here, and I looked, and that's what they'd sent off, the end of the world. The message was the end of the world. So God, speaking so loud and so very clear, here at Calvary, Satan failed. And I'm going to close in just a little bit now. I've said a whole lot here tonight. But anyway, here at Calvary, Satan failed. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so it was, he failed. He went down. Satan failed. Now, that's something that flash came just about that time. But anyway, he failed. At Calvary, Satan fell from heaven. Isn't that right? He lost his lofty estate. He failed. What does it mean, falling from heaven? Just exactly like Billy Graham is doing. One time I perceived that Billy was a religious man and was in the favor of God. But when he come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ in his depths and wouldn't go on, God had to, much is given, much is required. God had to turn him away. You understand what I'm saying? So then it's obvious that something took place. See, you have to be in a spiritual condition or in heaven before you can ever fall. You got to be somewhere. You can't fall till you get somewhere. Lucifer was in heaven, but he fell from up there. And God speaks of the religious things, that is real godly things, as being heaven. So protected by that today, the body of Satan is protected by the grace. He's in the second heaven. See, that goes back to Calvary, where Jesus was made like unto the serpent, like unto Satan. That was between heaven and earth. That was the second heaven. This is where Satan was cast out from, at the second heaven. I made the statement, the crossing coming this way, the avenue of glory going up this way, going up perpendicular, and then coming horizontal, we see coming in another perspective. Here comes Satan, the middle wall of partition. You follow me? And so then you go right straight up, just like that. Just like a pilot. When a pilot's taking off, he'll set the nose of it right on the horizon. And you go right across that horizontal, right straight across there, because he's lifting up. He's lifting up. See, the cross comes between the body and the spirit. You've got a cross. One of them's got to die. Abstain from fleshly lust, it warreth against the soul. One of them's got to die. Jesus was made Satan between heaven and earth in the type here. That he was made sin. God smote him. God defeated him. God cast him out into Christ. Christ took him to Christ, the seed of the woman, took him up here and nailed him to Calvary. That is the flesh. Nailed the flesh, sinful flesh to Calvary. And then come back over here and picked up the resurrected Holy One. Is that right? The Holy One that lives on and on and on. So then as lightning, he fails here. Why is it then that we have not received the benefits of it? Some of the saints got up out of the ground. They arose. All of them didn't. But some of them got up out of the ground and received their benefits right then. Why is it that we haven't received our benefits if we're already over the Jordan, if we're already over Calvary? Why is it that we haven't received our benefit? Because it is by the act of faith. And we won't get over the Jordan of this old carnal reasoning. We won't live by faith. We won't accept the benefits as a full completion in him. Even right now, while we're talking about this, I was thinking about George Jr. and what he had to do with. And right now, they're putting out the little old track that's called Complete in Him, with George Jr.'s baby picture on it, in his little old kindergarten robe and whatever, in his graduation, you know, whatever it is. See, Complete in Him. We are complete in Him. We're not lacking. He did everything. Everything has been done. Since that time, we can have anything that we want, folks. Even eternal life. Even the redemption of the body. All of those things. I've done seen it. I've done been in the Spirit. I've done been in the mind of Christ and the understanding. He's broke it down to me and showed me how that Adam by Adam, he's already redeemed the body. It's all been done. But see, we are not accepting it by faith. That's where the problem is. So then right here, this is where it all happened. And isn't it something that right here at this particular place where Satan is cast out, look, come here comes the rainbow. Here comes the covenant. Right there, the flood's over. The ark is raised to the top of the mountain. The new earth comes in. Here coming right out of here, it's obvious that right out of here, here it comes. Right here comes the rainbow right on over so we can enjoy the new earth. But God, knowing that we wasn't going to accept it, that is, we was going to have to go through the tutoring of the church ages, the exhibit of the seven spirits of God to get the answer, there he made it right here. We see the ark rising up. We see right here when the devil is cast out, what happens? What happens? Noah, just immediately, he let the crow out, didn't he? He let the old raven out. Didn't he do that? Let the old raven out. When God smote Jesus right here, Jesus said, I saw him fall out. I saw him fall out. The old raven was let out of the ark, that is, out of the flesh, being made sin. He was cast out of our body. Is that right? Because he that knew no sin made sin my sin, that I might be made his righteousness. Is that right? Out of that also came the dove. From here, the Holy Spirit lifted up, went up right up to heaven, got a leaf from the tree of life, come right back to the ark on Pentecost, brought that back and said, Brother Pike, Brother Peter, open the door. I can't stay out there with all that corruption floating around. But the old crow, he just went out there. God said, twice dead and plucked up by the root. People like it in the waters, just floating around everywhere. And the old crow, just out there, just pecking away and eating. Been eating all down through the church ages. Isn't that right? But see, God has sealed it in. Took it, just ride right over the church ages, riding over the tribulation period and land right out here in the millennium, Revelation 19. Come down, just turn the dove loose and let her go right there. Isn't that right? See, it's so beautiful the way that he's doing it. Everything is so lovely and so perfect. He's got it set in order so lovely. Having established his covenant with us, that we may see him, the invisible God, by the means, as we say, our visible light. There's just a lot of things that we'd like to say tonight in talking to you, but we've kept you quite a long while already. I want you to stand with me. I really appreciate you. I appreciate your kind attention, and I love the opportunities just to talk with you, if it's for a few minutes or if it's for hours. I love the opportunity to commune with you and just talk with you. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's don't forget Brother Frank's companion. She asked for prayer before she went off. And let's don't forget hundreds and thousands of people around the earth that's asking for prayer. Sister Betty gave me a list of prayer requests tonight that had come in from different places, maybe way out in Arizona. I prayed over them this evening before I ever come to church. And I'll be praying over them more. When you turn in prayer requests, I pray over them again and again. I pray over them. But you know, the Bible said when you pray, believe. You must believe. If you are to excel in God, you've got to believe. That's right, Brother Carnes, you've got to believe. I appreciate the amen on that. You've got to believe. See, it is no good, absolutely no good, to pray lest you believe. Because we don't get to heaven by praying. We get to heaven by believing in the finished works of Jesus. But we pray. We pray that we might build up our most holy faith by praying in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. When we worship in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, we build up our most holy faith.